Welcome to Just a Minute.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the Minute Waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but around the world, but also to welcome to the programme four exciting, dynamic personalities who are going to play Just a Minute. And they are, seated on my right, Paul Merton and Sheila Hancock, and seated on my left, Will Self and Ross Noble. Please welcome all four of them. Beside me sits Hayley Sterling. She's going to help me with the score. She'll blow the whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the RADA studios in the west central area of London. And we're going to begin the show with Ross Noble. And Ross, the subject I've got in front of me is taking the dog out. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Taking the dog out is something that you have to do if you're working as a hitman for the Cat Protection Society. He'll come round and tell you, listen, we got a job you got to do. I didn't want to do it at first, but, you know, that was what I...
Will challenged.
Repetition of do.
Oh, ooh. Yes, that's something you have to do, and I didn't want to do it at first. Right, well, listen, Will, and you have 45 seconds. You take over the subject, taking the dog out, starting now.
You have to take the dog out if you want to avoid it doing something very unpleasant in the house. We had a problem with our dog because it was effectively incontinent. So we asked somebody called a dog whisperer to come round and talk to us about our problems with the hound. And he said...
Sheila Challenge.
Shouldn't the dog whisperer have been talking to the dog rather than you?
The dog whisperer does talk to both species, in fact.
But it was a very good challenge, wasn't it?
It was good, but it was factually inaccurate.
We give her a bonus point because it was a very shrewd challenge, but you were interrupted, so you get a point for that. Will, and 22 seconds available, taking the dog out, starting now.
Before communicating with the miscreant pup, he said to us, don't hit your dog when it...
Ross challenged.
Repetition of don't. I know that's really pedantic, but he did it with do, yeah. So you know...
I don't think I did repeat don't.
No.
I was just being an idiot.
No, you weren't. I think it was a correct challenge.
Oh, was it? All right, I love it. That's exactly what I meant to do. But that's... You can't challenge on.
And you got a point and 14 seconds. Oh. Taking the dog out, starting now.
I took a dog out to the theatre once. It was an absolute disaster. The problem is that you're not allowed to take them into those particular establishments, so I had to pretend that it was a guide dog.
Oh, Paul challenge.
Well, it sounded a bit like a hesitation.
It was a definite hesitation. Paul, you got in with 2 seconds to go. Not popular, but correct. And those are the rules of the game. So, Paul, a point to you, and 2 seconds, taking the dog out, starting now.
I had a good career this morning, but it's all gone wrong.
So, at the end of that round, Paul, who's speaking as a whistle, when gained an extra point, is equal Will Self in the lead. And, Will, we'd like you to begin the next round. The subject, Christopher Columbus. Tell us something about that man in this game, starting now.
One of the common misapprehensions concerning the navigator known to us as Christopher Columbus is that he was Spanish. This was not the case. He hailed from the Republic of Genoa and indeed was a fervent anti-monarchist. Nonetheless, one of the monarchs of the Iberian Peninsula.
Sheena Challenge.
Hesitation.
Yeah, you took a breath in between one of your two.
Well, you can't.
I like to think that people regarded that little bit of afflatus as part of my verbal stream, Nicholas.
Well, I have these problems I have to interpret, and I give the benefit of the doubt on occasions, and I think I have to give it to Sheila on this occasion. Oh. I gave it to you last time, so Sheila's got it this time, and there are 38 seconds on Christopher Columbus, Sheila, starting now.
I am always full of admiration for those early explorers, sailing dependent upon the wind and the sea being kind towards them, discovering places that we didn't even know existed. However, Christopher Columbus was actually rather a nasty man. He was one of the origins of the slave trade because he shipped people from various countries to do work in others that was cruel, and many died. He also inflicted torture on some of the people he vanquished.
Will challenge.
Repetition of people.
Yes, there's rather too many people there. Will listened, Will, and you've got it back again, you see, so it's all fair play, isn't it? And you've got Christopher Columbus, and 5 seconds available starting now.
To speak of Christopher Columbus discovering America is...
Sheila Challenge.
Did he say Christopher Cumbus?
No, Sheila, I gave you the benefit of the doubt last time when you breathed.
He definitely said Christopher Columbus.
Christopher Columbus.
Well, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt this time, because I don't think that was a definite hesitation.
You wait till you hear the repeat, Nick.
Darling, you had the benefit of the doubt on a very dubious hesitation before. He's got it this time, with 2 seconds to go, starting now.
Setting foot in what became...
So Will Self, speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. And Sheila, we'd like you to begin the next round. I'm sure this had been chosen specially for you, knowing what a brilliant actress you are. A Midsummer Night's Dream. Oh. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
Well, it's interesting that here we are in one of the premises of the Royal Academy of Art, where I actually...
Ross, yes, you challenged
him. Hesitation.
Unfortunately,
it was because
yes.
I said art, and it isn't. It's the Royal Academy of Dramatic Art.
Dramatic art, yes. 51 seconds, Ross. Midsummer Night's Dream, starting now.
A Midsummer Night's Dream is a very popular play that is often presented in the summertime in outdoor theatres. Many fine actors have presented their bottom in Hyde Park.
Presented twice.
He did say presented.
He's often presented.
And also Regent's Park's the one with the outdoor theatre, so I would have been knackered both ways.
Sheila, you've gone back in on the subject. There are 41 seconds available. Another point to you, of course. A Midsummer Night's Dream, starting now.
A Midsummer Night's Dream is responsible for one of my happiest experiences in the theatre. I was lucky enough to be artistic director of the Royal Shakespeare Tour.
Ross Challenge.
Oh, is it repetition of Royal Academy of...
The Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts, yes.
I'm so sorry.
No.
You know what, that's
that's
the first time I was actually listening all that. I just went, oh, that's how you play the game, isn't it? Yeah. Sorry.
But it is delightful how that rumble of recognition spreads throughout the audience, yeah. Ross, there are 32 seconds, A Midsummer Night's Dream, starting now.
Peter Quince, I believe, is one of the characters in A Midsummer Night's Dream. Mm. He released a range of Shakespearean jams due to the fact that his name was also a fruit. This led to Shakespeare becoming very, 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 very...
A figure of speech we all use, but not in just a minute. Sheila, you challenge first.
Very, very.
Very, very. So you've got A Midsummer Night's Dream back, which you know a bit about. 15 seconds starting now.
On this particular tour... I already said tour.
Hesitation.
Oh, no, I didn't, actually.
No, but you did hesitate. So Ross has got another point and another opportunity on this Midsummer Night's Dream. 14 seconds starting now.
Deep in the forest, the fairies mucking about, carrying on in the way that they do in that particular play. I went and saw it, but unfortunately I wasn't really concentrating and therefore I am unable to tell...
So, Ross Noble, speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and he's now equal in the lead with Will Self, and closely followed by Sheila Hancock and Paul Merton at Aura. And, Paul, we're with you to begin, and the subject I have here is All Over the Shop. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
Well, I suppose it's a phrase that means you're particularly unfocused or you haven't got your act together. It all can also mean... Oh, what was that?
Sheila Challenge.
A hesitation.
Yeah, we interpret as hesitation. So 53 seconds are still available, Sheila. All Over the Shop, starting now.
All Over the Shop means you're in a terrible muddle, a state that I live my life in. My wardrobe is all over the shop. My drawers of all types are all over the shop. And my family... family is all over the shop. I can't get things together. I don't know how that phrase started. My mum actually worked in a shop, and it was incredibly neat, and she was organised beyond belief, which is probably why I am all over the shop, because she used to clear up after me, which is what my children do to their grandchildren.
Ross, challenge.
Children, repetition of children?
Oh, yes, repetition of children.
Did I?
Yeah, and in 17 seconds.
I'm not sure it was. Was it family?
I thought you had it for hesitation.
Oh, yeah, hesitation it was, yeah. No, I'm not going to take that. I won't have it. I'm a gentleman.
I said that to get a laugh, because I can't give retrospective points. Your first challenge was wrong, so Sheila has another point. And she has the audience on her side as well. 17 seconds, Sheila, all over the shop, starting now.
My children... Oh, my now! Oh.
I'm having up for that. I'm definitely having up
for that. Ross, you've got a point. You've got 15 seconds, all over the shop, starting now.
Mr Selfridge, he was somebody who was well known for being all over the shop. He started the giant department store, and not only would he use the stairs and the elevators, he would get inside the tubes, which were full of compressed air, and fire him.
So Ross Noble was then speaking as the whistle went and has moved forward. He's just ahead of Sheila Hancock and Will Self and Paul Merton in that order. And Ross, we're back with you to begin. The subject is cheese straws. 60 seconds if you want it, starting now.
Cheese straws are terrible for drinking milkshake with. You can put them into the beverage and suck as hard as you can, but unfortunately all you will receive is some form of
What is it?
Coming through the cheese straw, because you don't get the suction, so it seeps out the side.
Ah. But will you challenge first?
I think it was hesitation.
It definitely was hesitation.
You've never heard the sound of somebody drinking through a cheese straw. I resent
another
that.
Point
and I
to
defend
you,
my
will.
Position.
And 47 seconds available. Cheese straws starting now.
In my family, one of the things we did most commonly was to play a game we called cheese cricket. This we played using cheese straws.
Paul challenged.
Well, you got to cheese straws, so I was going to say deviation from the subject, but you actually got there as I pressed, so...
Well, thank you so much, Paul. Mm. That's very decent of you.
There was repetition of played, though.
He did repeat play, but nobody picked it up. 37 seconds are still available for you, Ross. And a Will, on cheese straws, starting now.
The cheese straw itself is employed in lieu of a bat, while a cheese football serves as the ball. The player stands over by the bar and flips his cheese straw up into the air to indicate that he is ready to receive the other cheesy projectile, which will be flung towards him. By
Ross challenge.
Repetition of cheesy. Had cheesy at the very start.
Yeah. No, I didn't.
No, he definitely said cheesy.
Yes, you did say cheesy twice, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
It all sounded cheesy from where I was sitting, but I don't know.
So, Ross, another point to you. 13 seconds at cheese straws starting now. You challenged yourself, Ross.
Hesitation. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Sorry. No, no. What, I thought you'd give it to him.
No, you challenged.
Oh, you get. Oh. Hang on. I thought it was him, and then he hesitated, but I hesitated, so I got him first.
I challenged myself.
You have been very clever. You've actually challenged yourself for hesitation.
Wow. Hang on. This could open up a wormhole in time. This. Because now all you've got to do is buzz as soon as you start.
Ross, whoever presses that buzzer first eliminates the other three lights. And it was you. And you were supposed to be speaking. Right. You weren't speaking.
I'm going to give you
the benefit of the doubt and say you should have been speaking. So you've got yourself a hesitation. What's the point? And tell him he's got 11 seconds on cheese straw starting now.
One of the little pigs built his house out of straw. Imagine if he'd done it out of cheese straws. The wolf would have simply come along with a hot item, a hairdryer, or a blowtorch.
So Ross Noble was then speaking as the whistle when gained that extra point, and he's moved forward in the lead. And Will Self, we're back with you to begin a nice erudite subject. I wandered lonely as a cloud. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
The opening line of a poem by William Wordsworth. It has become a byword for something that John Ruskin described as the pathetic fallacy, which I think is a little bit unkind. This is the idea that objects in the natural world in some way respond or exemplify human emotions. A common...
Ross... Yes, right. 34 seconds for you, Ross, on I Wandered Lonely as a Cloud, starting now.
I Wandered Lonely as a Cloud doesn't make any sense at all because, as we all know, in this country, most of the time it is cloudy and therefore clouds are all together in one big group. You very rarely get a singular cloud on its own lonely. I think what he should have said was, I wandered around like a big group of clouds, and that is why he was a terrible poet.
Peter Jones, yes, Sheila.
It's repetition of clouds.
Yes, you plural. Clouds in the plural. So, Sheila, you've got him with 10 seconds to go on. I wandered lonely as a cloud, starting now.
The interesting thing about that is that it was Dorothy Wordsworth who actually saw the daffodils blowing in the Lake District and gave the idea.
So Sheila Hancock was in speaking for Whistle Went as it moved forward. She's just ahead of Will Self and Paul Merton and trailing Ross Noble, who's still in the lead. And Sheila, we're back with you to begin, and the subject now is airports. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
Well, of course, they're sheer hell, aren't they? You have to have techniques of dealing with them. I spend quite a lot of time in airports because I live partly in France, and you have to always have hand luggage, never let it go into the hold so you have that dreadful moment of waiting to see whether it's arrived at the other end. And usually you can get somebody to help you put it up in the locker. The other thing is to locate a restaurant that is quiet. There are some amongst the millions of shops. That is what airports have become, shopping malls, tricks to get you to buy something. For instance, you are not allowed to take water through security, but you have to buy it at exorbitant amounts on the other side of the pass and thereby blow up the plane with your very expensive water, presumably.
Well, that doesn't often happen in just a minute. Someone starts with a subject and goes for 60 seconds without hesitation, repetition or deviation and not being interrupted. And so she gets a bonus point for not being interrupted and a point for speaking when the whistle went. And she's moved forward another 2 points. And she's still 2 points behind Ross Noble, just ahead of Will Self and Paul Merton. And Paul, we're back with you to begin. And the subject is the crown jewels. Tell us something about those in this game, starting now.
Nicholas Parsons turned to Henry VIII and he said, you've got to put somewhere safe for your crown jewels. Build a tower, perhaps, in the middle of London. Somewhere you can...
Oh, Sheila Challenge.
Repetition of somewhere?
Oh, yes.
Somewhere. She was right at the beginning, Paul.
Yes.
51 seconds are still available, Sheila. You take over the crown jewels, starting now.
I am going to try very hard to keep this subject so Will doesn't get it, because it will deeply get us into pornography.
Will's got in already.
Repetition of Will.
Oh, gosh, yes. Clever challenge.
When
you did
I
repeat
say Will before?
Because Will will say it.
Will will get it.
Right,
will
right.
will get it. Right. So you've got 45 seconds if you wanted, Will, on the crown jewels, starting now.
As a small child, I was taken to see the crown jewels, and I tried on the Queen's crown. The Koh-i-Noor diamond scintillated on my forehead, and all the other pupils in my class said, lo, it is the King. He has come amongst us to dispense wisdom and justice. But I did nothing of the sort, although I did hand around a couple of bags of crisps, which my mother had given to me to take on this little school trip.
Boss Challenge.
Repetition of trip.
Yes, you went on a school trip quite before. Mm. So, Will, listen, Ross. 14 seconds, the crown jewels are starting now.
The Queen refers to the crown jewels as the family jewels, which can lead to a lot of problems in that particular household. The Duke of Edinburgh has never put them on her head. It is something that is almost...
So Ross Noble was in Speaker's Whistle, went and gained that extra point for doing so and has increased his lead at the end of the round. And Ross, we're back with you to begin. And the subject is Pilates. Pilates, 60 seconds if you wanted, Ross, starting now.
Pilates is a wonderful thing. It is, in many ways, the best way to make sure that people think that you are playing Twister with the Invisible Man. Why would you go around to some sort of laboratory, a scientific experiment has taken place where the scientist has got the elixir and drunk it down and had to wrap his head in bandages and then place a hat upon it and then the sunglasses in order to appear...
Will challenge.
Where's this going exactly, Ross?
The Invisible Man. That's how the Invisible Man becomes the Invisible Man, and I'm about to move on to tell you about how you can play...
Yeah, but it's nothing to do with Pilates, is it, let's face it?
Yeah, you're playing Pilates with... OK.
We do allow people to go into the realm of fantasy in this game, Will, and I think that's where he'd gone.
Gone a little too far, though, hadn't he, Nicholas?
Probably he had.
Yeah, I think a little too
far. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt, and come on. 30 seconds for you, Will, on Pilates, starting now.
An exercise regimen that involves bending, stretching, and otherwise contorting your form is something that many people take up in middle age in order to cope with the rigours of stiffening limbs. I myself do a little bit of Pilates from time to time in the...
Paul.
A repetition of time.
Yes. Sure, and one of the tricks of the game, which is a common phrase. And, Paul, you got in with 11 seconds to go on Pilates, starting now.
Pilates of the Caribbean. What a film that was. I love the bit over the horizon where the ship came sailing towards the protagonist and he stood up on the main deck and he said, if you can stick one arm up here and the other one over there...
So, Paul Merton was then speaking as a whistle when gained that extra point. And, Will, we're actually back with you to begin. The subject is On the Road, starting now.
Published in 1957, Jack Kerouac's novel On the Road in fact described events that took place some 10 years earlier when he and a group of his wild friends spent their time driving back and forth across the great American continent, often high on narcotics of one form or another, which is also how Jack Kerouac...
Yes, Ross challenged.
Jack Kerouac,
yes. Ross, another correct challenge. And 34 seconds still available. On the Road, starting now.
Willie Nelson, of course, sang On the Road again. I can't wait to do that particular activity. That is how he sang it in the original draft.
Will challenge.
Sang, repeated.
Well, it was a big hit. He sang it loads of times.
So, Will, you've got it back. 25 seconds on the road, starting now.
Placing one end of a long roll of shelving paper into his typewriter, he began to work on the novel, fueled only by Benzedrine capsules, and kept on typing until it was done, and then submitted this great bundle of paper to the publishers, who were absolutely...
Ross challenged.
Well, I would say that's deviation, because with a typewriter, you put an individual sheet in, don't you?
No, it's a well-known fact that On the Road was typed on a continuous roll of paper.
OK.
Will, you talk with such intellectual confidence on occasions, we'll often believe you, but I don't believe you on this occasion.
Well, you should believe me, because it's actually true.
Is it actually true?
It is actually true.
No, don't believe that.
He happened to type it on a roll of shelving paper that he fed into the machine and then just typed it out as if it were on a continuous sheet.
Well, all right then.
All right.
So there wouldn't be a roll then. You said a bundle. Would it be a bundle?
Well, when he took it out of the typewriter, he obviously slightly loosely bundled it up. You know?
I think he repeated the word paper.
He did. He did indeed repeat the word paper. I've got a difficult decision here. There's only 1 second to go. Oh, so you came in too late with your challenge, so give Sheila a bonus point because she spotted that. We are convinced by what you said, but we don't trust you on it. And it would be mean for me to take it away from you with 1 second to go. So you will have 1 second on the road, starting now.
Liars, they called him.
Oh, we're coming to the end of the show. Aww. We have got time for one more round. Let me give you a score before we do so. Paul Merton, for once, was trailing just a little, and he's been holding back, because in second place we have Sheila Hancock and Will Self, trailing Ross Noble by 2 or 3 points. And it's Sheila's turn to begin. So, Sheila, the subject is itchy feet. 60 seconds, as usual, starting now.
I do have terrible trouble with my feet. They are the bane of my life and always have been. I had to do remedial exercises when I was at school because I had this huge bunion-y thing. And always, at night, my feet are itchy. Now, it is also said that itchy feet mean you want to travel a lot. And at one time, I did. But now I've decided I am not all that keen on it. I've got 3 grandchildren.
Will Challenge.
You told us previously that you live between here and France, which suggests you travel a fair amount.
I said now.
But she could still travel a lot but not enjoy it.
No, but she implied she no longer travelled. Whereas, in fact, she's already told us she travels
well,
frequently.
Well, it happens to fit this round and it didn't fit the other one. We don't always tell the truth in this game, Will.
I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt, Sheila, and say there are 30 seconds to go on itchy feet, starting now.
Charlie, Alfie and Rosie, relatively young, are always suffering from itchy feet. They cannot stand still or walk. I take them out and I say, let's have a little chat, shall we? And one of them says...
Ross Challenge.
Bit of hesitation.
Yes, well, definitely. So, Ross, you've got in with another point and 12 seconds to go on itchy feet, starting now.
One of the reasons you can have itchy feet is you might have athlete's foot, terrible flaky skin. But don't see that as a bad thing. Simply put your ankles over a friend or relative's shoulder and shake them.
So, Ross Noble was then speaking as the whistle went and gained that extra point. And the final score is that Paul trailed a little for once. He was just behind Will Self, and he was 1 point behind Sheila Hancock, who was a few points behind Ross Noble. So we say, Ross, you are our winner this week. I just want to say thank you to Hayley Sterling, who's helped me with the score. She blew a whistle with such aplomb and kept the score. We thank these 4 fine players of the game, Paul Merton, Sheila Hancock, Will Self and Ross Noble. We're indebted to our producer, Matt Strong, and we're deeply indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. So from the audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons and the team, thank you. Tune in again at the same time when we play Just a Minute!
And the Just a Minute crew will once again attempt to be deft of delivery when they articulate on a fresh batch of topics next week at the same time.